I'm so grateful for the reminder of those verses from Philippians. I'd actually like to read them again. It says this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I don't know if you're anything like me, but in times like this, my brain just struggles to slow down. And I need that reminder that my anxiety, I can take that to Jesus, that He knows, that He's with me, that we have a good Father. And that promise that our hearts and our minds will be guarded, that peace will come, is such a good reminder. And so I want to take some time to pray for Esther, to pray for those frontline medical workers that are on the front lines, that are helping us in this time, and to pray that those things would be true, that as they use those gifts to heal, to help restore, to bring peace, that they too would also know the promise of God's presence in this time. So we're going to take some time and pray, and you can close your eyes or you can keep your eyes open. I know it's an interesting space for us in this time, but I want to pray, and I'm going to close my eyes because that's how I'm probably most comfortable. So let's just take some time to pray. Father God, thanks. We do pause to remember, God, all of the things that we're grateful for. God, I'm grateful for your word that Esther shared with us. God, that we can present anything to you, that we don't have to be anxious. But God, even in this time, you'll meet us, that the promise of your presence is real. And so we do. We thank you, God, for those health workers, those frontline essential workers that are helping, God, to stem the flow, God, of sickness and brokenness. And I pray, God, that you would be with them, that you'd be with Esther. God, there are so many people that we know that work in hospitals and clinics and doctor's offices, nurses, doctors, and staff. God, I thank you for them. I pray that you'd be with them. God, I thank you that we can come together even in this space and in this time to pray for our friends and our loved ones, God, who are working so hard in this difficult time. God, we pray for peace. God, we pray for health. We pray for wholeness. We thank you for your protection. And God, we call upon you in this time, God, to stem this flow, God, to heal people, to stop the spread of this virus. And in the meantime, we thank you for those people who, God, trust in you, who are continuing to help in this time of trouble. And so we thank you for that. We're grateful, God, for your presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So now I'm going to throw it to Tim. We're really excited about what he's got to say today. So thank you, Tim.
And Ryan, thanks for that. And it is so good to know that we can still gather together, that we can pray together, that we can carry one another's concerns and one another's hearts. And the thing is that, I love is that doesn't matter what the space is that we find ourselves in, we know God's presence. And I am very aware of that sense of, gathering together wherever two or three are gathered. In his name, he's there in the midst. And in his name, I've sort of come to realize isn't even this physical space that we have to be in together. God's not concerned by, social distancing and you have to be in a certain, space for him to be there. The Lord's here and he knows our hearts and he knows our concerns. This is so fluid and it's so shifting all the time. Here we are 2 weeks into the digital church age and we've already got two different places and who knows, next week we don't know what it's going to look like. But it's something that we're going to continue to journey together. As you look at the comments that may be coming up on your YouTube channel, I really do encourage you, continue to engage and continue that conversation. I hope that you will enjoy that space as well. I was aware that we felt the Lord's leading to us, a few years back now, that we had four pretty distinct spheres of influence that we could engage in. There was the context of the center that the Lord has given us. There was our footprint and our voice in our local community. There was our influence in our nation and our influence to the uttermost parts of this earth. And over the years, we've pretty deliberately engaged each one of those spheres. And this community that we sit in the midst of, and this center that has been quite profound in its influence in people's lives, sort of has come to the forefront even in its closing. And many, many years ago, I asked myself a series of questions about the church and about our influence in community and what might happen if that day came that we were forced to close our doors. Would anyone miss us? Would anyone miss our influence in community? And this week, there's just been some beautiful messages that have come through, and I want to encourage you with some of these. You know, we're still gathering as the church, but our community really has this yearning to continue to be a part of this. You know, I got a message from a grandma who said that her son had taken on a little project. I want to read that message to you, and then you'll see the image that goes along with it. But this is the message. This morning, Sean decided to build the Good Life Center. The swimming pool is red. Michelle, his swim teacher, is teaching him paddle arms. He's been playing at it for ages. And then she says this, the feeling of belonging continues to have rippling effects. And as you look at this image, you'll see how much this little one has actually taken on board what happens here. You'll see, you know, parents walking a pram with kids. You'll see parents sitting along the side of the pool. You'll see the kids in the water with Michelle. And what I realized is that our little ones even are trying to create a space that's relevant to them. And I love that for many, this center has such a place of relevance in their lives. You know, we got messages also from people who are part of this community. We got this one that said, hello, admin team. Please note that it would be my pleasure to continue my monthly membership to Good Life until further notice, and let this be a thank you to the fabulous center that you've built and manage, run by extraordinary people. This one came in, hey, Good Life, I'm happy for you to keep taking my membership fees to help out the beautiful staff members at this time. As hard as it is for all of us at the moment, we need to support each other where we can, as the Good Life community did for myself and my family when I needed it most, going through some of the hardest times. And I love that as these things come through, the reference point is to this space of belonging, of help, of finding meaning, refuge, resource in the midst of tough times. And I pray that we will continue to do that. I hope that we will continue to find a space of relevance in the midst of our community. You know, the church is at a time where we are sort of trying to work out, what does that relevance look like? How do we continue to have influence? It's most definitely going to be a new landscape, but the opportunities we have will continue throughout this world. I don't know when the doors will reopen. I don't know when we can physically gather together again. I don't know when we can begin to re-encroach on that socially distant space. But we can continue to offer hope, to offer peace, to share wisdom where we have it. You know, so many of our global impact partners in that fourth sphere of the world, are now in countries with closed borders as we are. And my hope is that we will continue to support them. We have actually made a decision that as long as the finances are available, we will continue to support all of our global impact partners, wherever they may be. Some are shut down in homes. Some are on probably limited influence, but they are looking for ways in the same sense for relevance, a relevance of our faith, a relevance of our actions that can influence with hope, with peace, with wisdom. So we're going to continue to pray for them and support them. You know, the support is really a crucial thing. And as long as we are able as individuals and as a part of this church, we should continue to do so. The needs are going to increase. We're hearing it all the time. Businesses closing, jobs being lost. And I hope, as I said last week, that we will continue to come together with our offering, with our tithe, and support those. I hope that we will become a reservoir of support to those in need. You know, sometimes it's easy to just get worried. I so appreciate that passage that Esther brought up and then Ryan that you read that says, don't be anxious. Don't let that control you. Let the peace of God set up a watch, set up guard over our hearts and over our minds. So let's continue in faith. Let's continue to engage in action and let's look to the future. You know, I was thinking this week also of the story of Noah. Now, I'm not saying for a moment that I think this calamity that we're under is, you know, God's judgment. And, you know, it's not what I'm saying. I think God uses these times to make us very aware of himself. But what I was aware of in that story is that God tucks away his people for his purpose. And he allows this time to pass, but then when he reopens that door, Noah and his family are looking across a landscape they've never seen before. We don't know what the landscape is beyond these doors, but we know that God continues to lead us, to go with us, that he will prepare the way ahead of us. And so we don't fear. I've been really encouraged by the words of Psalm 93. In Psalm 93, listen to this, it says, the Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and he's armed with strength. The world is firmly established and it cannot be moved. Your throne, O God, was established long ago and you are from all eternity. And then in verse 3, the tone sort of shifts a little bit. And the psalmist says this, the seas have lifted up, O Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. And there's almost this like moment of looking around and seeing it. Sort of probably reminds me of Peter walking on the water. But the psalmist says, man, something's happened. It's unsettling. Then in verse 4, he says this, but mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. The seas have lifted up. The waves are pretty big and there's a lot of unknown and it can be unsettling, but mightier than the pounding waves is the Lord enthroned forever. You know, there's a great song. It's another one that is part of the My Story, His Glory series. And this one, actually, I kind of like it. It's set in the ocean. And in the midst of all of the chaos, there's this stillness. In the midst of the waves, there's this ability to actually ride those waves. But this song is entitled, I Will Wait. I hope you get the heart of it and join in with it. Thank you.
stars into space. I didn't put the mountains into place. There was you. I wasn't here before the world began. I didn't take dust and make a man. There was you. You have always been, you will always be faithful, Lord, to me. So I'll wait on you. I will wait for you. You are God. Take my sin to the cross. There was you. I didn't give my life for all to save. I didn't make a way beyond the grave. There was you. So in uncertain times that I don't understand, I'll be sure.
Wow, how great a reminder is that? I will wait. You know, I really appreciate those words that just say you have never, you know, you never came short. You've never been late. And in the midst of it, we get all concerned. But here we are. You know, it's interesting, Ryan, as we were getting ready to look towards Easter all those months ago, and we were preparing, and we called this series that we were preparing The Week That Changed Everything. You know, here we are in this, the week that everything changed.
It's so true.
And yeah, we don't know what it looks like ahead. But everything is changing, but yet there are things that will never change. We were preparing to head towards Easter, and we still are. 2 weeks from now, it's Easter, Good Friday, that pinnacle point of the security of our faith and our salvation was the work that Jesus did. And just for a moment, I really want to just draw our eyes back to that space and I guess our posture in this time, if you would. Do we lean in or do we lean away? Do we engage or are we slowly disengaging? You know, there's this very interesting sort of comparison that you have between two key people in this story. You know, there was Judas. Judas, who was a follower who became a betrayer. And then the contrast to that is Mary, who was this devoted follower who just remained this beautiful friend. You know, if we take a moment and look at Judas, follower becomes betrayer. He actually comes to this moment that I don't know what led him to the decision that he made, but he goes to the chief priests and he asks this question: what will you give me for him? Think about that for a moment. What will you give me for him? Well, then they come back with actually probably the most insulting thing they can come up with. The chief priests, the Sadducees, they say this: we'll give you 30 pieces of silver. Now, you may not have ever picked up this reference, but if you go back to Exodus chapter 21 and verse 32, it says this, that if a slave is gored by a bull, then the one who owns that bull needs to pay what was called the slave price. They were to give the owner 30 pieces of silver, the slave price. And so the teachers of the law, the chief priests, they look at Judas, who says, what will you give me? And in the most insulting way they can, they say, we'll give you 30 pieces of silver, the slave price. But this is, I think what's so staggering to me is that even in the insult, Judas just goes, I'll take it. I'll take the 30 pieces of silver and allow the insult. You know, on the other hand, you've got Mary, who is this devoted follower and friend, and she comes to Jesus in what would have been considered an inappropriate setting, in a meal of people reclined and friends, and Mary comes into this space. She comes up behind Jesus and it says that she wept over him and she broke this jar of perfume. It says it was a pint or 600 milliliters of pure nard, the most fragrant of perfumes, and poured it out over him, wiped it with her hair, her tears. Mary comes in and gives everything she has. Now, Jesus references this and said it was done for my burial. Mary not even necessarily knowing that at the time. But the contrast here is an intimate friend who has walked with Jesus that comes and says, what will you give me? How can I gain out of this? And Mary, this intimate friend who comes and just pours out everything she has. The contrast to me is quite striking. And I guess the question that comes is, what is the posture that we have in this season? Is it going to be a, man, I need to take hold of and get whatever I can. My goodness, look at the shopping, you know, centers and the grocery stores. People are in this what can I get for myself mindset. But I really believe the mindset we should enter into this with is, what can I bring? What can I give? What can I bear? What can I prepare for someone else's moment of need? Judas, what can I get? I'll take whatever it can be. Mary, whatever I've got, I'm going to give. And so I invite you, even as we approach this Easter season, in the next 2 weeks, we'll be there. I don't know where we'll be sharing this from at that point, but what's the posture? Are we going to lean in expectation and engagement, or are we going to retreat and lean out in apprehension and fear? Are we going to look at it as, what do I get my hands on? Or do I look at it as, what's in my hands that I can give? And so I invite you, keep your eyes fixed on Christ. Hebrews chapter 12. after the whole chapter 11 on faith, it says, therefore, let us fix our eyes on Christ, the author, the finisher, the one who began it, the one who's going to see it through to the end. Let us fix our eyes on Christ. And so I invite you in this space, lean in, take a hold of his word. The seas, they might be rising up, but there's one who is enthroned above it all. I'm glad that you've joined with us today. I'm glad that we've entered into this season together. Glad that we each get to participate with one another. And I just want to close in a word of prayer and invite you to continue to engage this space. Lord Almighty, enthroned God of the heavens, Lord of the earth, may we know your presence. May we know your peace. And Lord, whether we find ourselves in lack or in abundance, God, may we continue to engage you in expectant faith and look at how do we continue to engage, to serve, to give of what we have, whether it is great or very meager, knowing that, Lord, you have never taken your eyes off us. I pray that in this time we'd continue to see your kingdom advance, your grace extended, your goodness known. Thanks. Amen. May you know peace today. We look forward to when we can see each other and gather together again. But God bless you. See you.